Good morning, church. Did you have anything unexpected happen this week? Expect the unexpected, right? This week, this Sunday, well, today, yeah, right. The joy of Jesus. We celebrate the third Advent, which is the Advent of joy. And so I thought, how appropriate we talk about the joy of Jesus. Are you in love with Jesus? Are you joyful about Jesus? Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 55 and 67 through 79. It's the Magnificat. That's what it's called. And it's Mary's prayer. It's Mary's prayer, Mary's thanksgiving of gratitude. Once she's been told that you're going to have a child and it's going to be the Savior of the world, and she goes and she visits with Elizabeth, and Elizabeth is pregnant, and the two ladies come together, and the kids are in the womb, and they're all excited. They recognize one another. And this is what God's word says. Mary's song of praise, Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. Verse 68. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Thus he has shown mercy, promised to our ancestors, and has remembered his holy covenant. The oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins, by the tender mercy of our God. The dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." Father, may those words melt into our hearts this morning. May they make an impression on our mind, Holy Spirit, of exactly who you are, of exactly your greatness. Of Emmanuel, God with us. What a blessing it must have been that day, that visitation that Mary experienced, that Zechariah experienced, being in the Holy of Holies, being struck silent, being told he was going to have a child. and he would not speak until that child was born. And it would be in correspondence with a Savior to come. What joy that would bring. What joy of a prophecy. What joy of a fulfillment. We recognize that Jesus, you are Messiah, you are Savior. What joy that brings to us, Lord Jesus. May that joy fuel our hearts. Holy Spirit, come upon us with your words this morning. Speak to us. Might we open our hearts to you. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Does your soul magnify and rejoice in God? Does your soul magnify and rejoice in God, your Savior? Or is it more gnarly and deadened like an old tree stump reminiscent of Ebenezer Scrooge before his redemption? What's your favorite Christmas carol? What's your favorite story? I loved the Christmas carol. Growing up as a kid, I watched, you know, the Disney version, and I watched the black and white version, and then I watched the Jim Carrey version. I love that retelling of that story. It's a story of redemption. Dickens tells the moral and ethical tale of what the seeking of material things, specific, the profit of a dollar, can do to one's soul. Ebenezer Scrooge was a young man who abandoned by his father to a boy's home, only to be welcomed back home well into his later teen years when his father was better. Ebenezer developed an aptitude and smarts for business. During his abandonment and solitude, he became a learned student and valued employee. Later on, an apprentice of who? Do you guys remember? Mr. Fezziwig. A jolly, good-spirited moneylender. The clutches of wealth and profit slowly envelop Ebenezer's heart. His pursuit leads him to lose the love of his life, Belle, and become a partner with Jacob Marley, somebody said. Jacob Marley is another lost soul on the path of greed, selfishness, and a careless attitude toward his fellow man. Eventually, what happens to Marley? He dies. And he's restlessly bound to witness the suffering, to wander the earth as a ghost, as a spirit. And he's bound to witness the suffering and hardships of others without being able to help them forevermore and change his own standing. The story has a happy ending. Scrooge's heart is repentant. He vows to change if he's given a second chance. And after being visited by what? How many spirits? Three. Interesting, isn't it? Three. He's given a second chance. He's visited by three spirits detailing the ramifications of his choice and his actions, not just for himself, but others in his sphere of influence. Scrooge is spared death, and on Christmas Day, he spreads the joy of a second chance favor to others with expressed love in gifts and provision and presents. He sees, when he's visited by the spirits, Tiny Tim. And Tiny Tim eventually dies. Well, Tiny Tim lives. He's saved from death. Scrooge's soul is redeemed from greed and selfishness to love and care for his fellow man. Faced with the destiny of one's soul through the living of this life, are we apt to pursue the way and destiny of Mr. Fezziwig, or Jacob Marley, or Ebenezer Scrooge? Who is Ebenezer Scrooge? He's you and me. He typifies the human spirit living on this earth. Under the curse of sin and death, he is an allegory of the human condition and the human person. He was born, he grew up facing circumstances, situations, and temptations as both a boy and a man, some outside of his choice and control, and others within it. He experienced the outcomes, the cursings, the blessings of decisions made of his own free will, of his own and others. Whatever we face, whatever comes our way, we can choose the way of Mr. Fezziwig or the way of Marley or the way of Scrooge. Just as Ebenezer made a choice, we make a choice every day between being a Mr. Fezziwig or a Jacob Marley or Ebenezer Scrooge. Who am I choosing to be? I can choose to live in joy with the love of humanity and hope for better things for tomorrow, in the grace and the love of God. Or I can choose to live in resentment, bitterness, in miserly misery, with only hope in what I can do for myself today. The prophet Jeremiah said these words in his day to Judah. Jeremiah 29:11, "For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope." Now, isn't that a good word? Is that a good word? It's a good word for us today. This is a word that Jeremiah gave to Judah, living where? In exile in Babylon. Judah went their own way. They wanted to pursue the road of apostasy. They abandoned God. They burnt incense to other gods. They worshipped other gods, their works, and the works of their own hands. They worshipped and put value in broken cisterns that they dug for themselves that cannot hold water, Jeremiah 2:13. Abandoning who? The fountain of living water, God. The same cisterns that we Ebenezers are confronted with today. Jeremiah preaches for 40 years, presiding as God's mouthpiece through five kings, the last four being evil: Josiah, Jehoahaz, Jehoiakim, Jehoiachin, and Zedekiah. Say those four times fast. What was Judah's message? What was Jeremiah's message? Surrender to God's will, for it is the only way to escape calamity. Surrender to God's will, for it's the only way to escape calamity. Judah refuses to repent, defies God's word and prophet, and is taken into captivity. The treasure of God's promise to live in a land flowing with milk and honey, promised to their fathers and descendants, is taken away. A remnant of Judah will eventually return only when the present generations pass and they turn and seek the face of God. Jeremiah 29:12-14. "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. I will restore your fortunes. I will again, as I've never forgotten my promise to you, but I will bring you into the promised land." God corrects and disciplines Judah for its good, to once again have his favor and get in line with him. They are not condemned to eternal condemnation. He reminds them of his promise and encourages them that it is not too late to change your heart and return to me. All will be forgiven. Just as Scrooge was given a chance to repent and change his heart, thus his ways, God gives Judah the same opportunity and us, though there is a time limit. Jeremiah 18:3, so I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. Jeremiah 18:6, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter has done, declares the Lord? Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. Then you shall break the flask in the sight of the men who go with you, Jeremiah 19:10. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I am bringing upon the city and upon all its towns all the disaster that I have pronounced against it, because they have stiffened their neck, refusing to hear my words. How many years did Scrooge stiffen his neck and refuse to hear God's words? A ruined vessel can be repaired while still wet. But once it is dry, it is a marred vessel, only fit to be broken and thrown away into the garbage heap. Ebenezer was still wet, but on the verge of being bone dry. What is the condition of our soul toward God, toward our fellow man? Is it wet? Are we malleable? Can we still be shaped and formed? Or are we bone dry? Hope in a future is only found in him and through one man, one God, and that is Jesus Christ. The only reason why a person can have joy in the midst of chaos, pain, and suffering called this world is in Jesus Christ. So what about joy? Is it a foreign concept? I think today, of all days, of all times, we have reason to not be joyful. But we must choose to be joyful and remember who we are joyful about, who we live in. We live in a born, died, and risen Savior. It sits at the right hand of God the Father this morning. And he is waiting to return. Do we have joy, or is it a foreign concept? Do I know what true joy is? Do I jump for joy, much like Ebenezer Scrooge did when he discovered he'd been given a second chance at life? That's what true joy is. To exult, to rejoice, to leap and skip ecstatically, enthusiastically with delight, often with song and dance. Oh no, song and dance. Hey, they danced, they played songs, recorded in Scripture, a way of praising the Lord. What does Ebenezer do when he discovers he has been given a second chance? He dances, he sings for joy. This is the same joy we are told of when Mary arrives at Elizabeth's house. And the statement is what? The babe leapt in my womb for joy. Luke 1:44. John the Baptist, the babe, before he's even conceived, is jumping for joy and having a party at the presence of his Lord and Savior, Jesus, in Mary, while he's in Elizabeth. And all the ladies go, oh, those days. That joy is chara. Chara is the joy and delight experienced in one's heart, especially at the result of God's grace. Do you know God's grace? Do you remember God's grace? Ebenezer experienced the grace of a second chance to make his life right. We can experience the same chance to make our lives right by receiving the grace of God, Jesus Christ. He is the joy unspeakable of, in 1 Peter 1:8. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not know now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with chara, with joy, with singing, with dance that is inexpressible and filled with glory. How excited are you about Christmas? Or is it just another day? Or is it just another, you know, comes around every year? Maybe it's a little bit depressive. Maybe some things have happened. But I challenge you to lean in to Christmas, to joy, because the Savior has been born, God with us, Emmanuel. And he said he will never, ever leave us, even though we may choose to leave him. He stands at the end of the road and waits for the prodigal son or the prodigal daughter to return. And when they do return, does he put them to work as a hired hand? No. He throws a party. It's a joyful event because the son or the daughter that was gone is now returned. Kill the fattened calf, throw a party. Do we throw a party because Jesus was born? Do we throw a party because we were dead in our sins and because he was born and then died and rose, we have life? Without the cradle, there is no cross. This is exactly why Mary and Zechariah rejoice. We read their words, the chance for redemption, second life is come in Jesus the babe. God has fulfilled his promise, his oath, his very word he spoke to Israel of a future and a hope, a plan to prosper and not to harm, Jeremiah 29:11. Do we know this to be true for us? Because it is true. For God incarnate has come in Jesus, giving life to anyone who desires his grace. For man is destined to die for his sin and then the judgment before Jesus our Lord. John 3:16-18. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God, Jesus Christ. Romans 3:22-24, 25. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, for there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. You cannot work for God's favor, for God's salvation. It is a gift, and it's received by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or the evil we have done in this earthly body. Then the king will turn to those on the left and say, away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons. For I was hungry, and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty, you didn't give me a drink. I was a stranger, and you didn't invite me into your home. I was naked, and you didn't give me clothing. I was sick and in prison, and you didn't visit me. Then they will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and not help you? And he will answer, I tell you the truth. When you refuse to help the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you are refusing to help me. And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life. It sounds like the story of the Christmas Carol. Dickens' Christmas Carol, Ebenezer. He was miserly, he was miserable. He would help nobody. He wouldn't give a dime to those in need. His partner had to beg for another piece of coal. It's the Christmas story. Salvation. Redemption. Through a Savior. Through one who's been given us a second chance at life. Ebenezer rejoices because he is given a second chance. Mary and Zechariah rejoice because the second chance was coming. We should rejoice because the second chance has come, and we can have that second chance of grace and rejoice in joy. Amen? The joy of Mary and the prophecy of Zechariah. Mary proclaims, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Why specifically? Because God has looked upon her with favor. He's looked upon you and me with his favor in our salvation. Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. Mary says, blessed, meaning fully satisfied. Have you ever been fully satisfied? To be fully satisfied is to experience and have the favor of God. Is to be content. We have the favor of God in Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit given to remind us of everything Jesus has said and taught us to know God's ways. Therefore, we can be fully satisfied in life. We can be blessed by receiving God's grace in Jesus Christ and following him by his Spirit. Are we fully satisfied? God did a mighty thing for Mary and his people, though through Mary, a willing servant, his bondservant. We talked about that. Mary was his bondservant. God did a mighty thing through Mary, giving his Savior to the world, Jesus, fulfilling his words through his prophet Jeremiah to give the people a future, a hope, and prosperity. As he does for each one of us that we believe and follow Jesus today. God did a mighty thing for his name. He kept his word. You and I can bank on his word, his oaths, his promises, his book. Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name what? Emmanuel, God with us. Suddenly, God has shown and given his great mercy. God has kept his steadfast love through generations of evil and wickedness of people, his creation. That even in our wickedness, he chose to come and die for a man in order to please his Father and glorify his name, but also give a second chance to men and women. But only if we receive, believe, and follow him. There was always a remnant of Israel and Judah, prophets speaking the words of God to his people, judges to deliver God's people and provide justice, with man's sin always a way of redemption with man's repentance. There's always a way. Kings and kingdoms would be brought down. All of Judah was under the rulership of Rome under a vassal king, King Herod. Herod the Great, a Palestinian, according to the AMG Concise Dictionary, from the region of Idumea, south of Judah, a mixture of Arabs and Jews and the remains of the Edomites. He was one of the sons of Antipater, half Jew and Edomian. Ruled Palestine for 33 years, removing all rivals through treachery and murder. Exiled in Egypt, Babylon, and Assyria, redeemed and brought back into the land. People didn't starve. Their shoes did not wear out. They trust if they trust in their God. He restored the fortunes of Israel after chasing after other gods, apostasy, and adultery. Why was Mary joyful? Mary is joyful because she was favored by God. And in his great mercy, God would save his people and assure his great name by the son she would give birth to, named Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Are we joyful? Are we joyful? God has given us a reason to be joyful. His name is Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Are we singing and dancing because God has kept his promise to give us a hope, a future, and prosperity and life? He has a plan for us, a good plan. Therefore, do not take the way of Scrooge, leading to dryness and death. Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. That's my life verse. When I came to the Lord, that was the verse at my baptism that I chose. That I'm going to trust in the Lord with all my heart. All things may not make sense, but you know what? The Lord understands it all. He has it handled. In all my ways, if I acknowledge him, he will make my paths straight. Do I believe that? 2 Corinthians 4, 17, 18, Paul speaking to the Corinthian church, to believers, for this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. God knows that we face a cruel world of pain and suffering. He knows our suffering, our pain, our heartache. He hears our yearning for the hope of promise of something better. But yet he provided someone, Jesus, for us to fix our eyes upon and follow through the afflictions of this world. Don't give in to the way of death and Scrooge, but pursue the way of love and care with the eternal assurance and hope of the best yet to come. Hold on to the promises of God and the hope of eternity. Be favored in your grief, suffering, and despair. God says, for this is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. What great favor Mary, Joseph, Zechariah, Elizabeth received because they were faithful to God. His ways, his words, as will you and I receive as we pursue his will and his ways. Love God, love people, and love our world. Love God, love people, love our world. That's a simple way to live this Christian life. Love God, love people, love our world. That's our mission. That's our commission. That's the great commandments tied into one. Love well. Don't be a Jacob Marley or an Ebenezer Scrooge. We want to fall in there. We want to go that way. We're drawn to that way. But we need to be a Fezziwig, or better yet, like Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.